Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
I am designer Dave Say.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's December 23rd.
Monday.
December 23rd. Monday.
Almost noon.
It is. We've been pretty good about starting. We usually try to do this right around 11.
Around 11, yeah.
And then by the time we get our headphones on and stop gabbing and stuff, usually it's right around 11:30, quarter of.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Or something like that.
Not bad.
I like that we've been doing this just to sort of get the week rolling.
Yeah.
You know?
It feels like Saturday already, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like a Monday.
No.
I started my Monday, which is today, by driving down to Burlington at 7:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And there's no traffic. There's no one's on the road.
No?
Usually if you leave Nashua and head south toward Boston,
yep.
You just pretty much are a standstill for the next an hour and a half.
Yep.
But there was no traffic. There was no blockage at where 495 connects to 3.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going down to Burlington to go to that big Korean supermarket, H Mart.
Really?
Yeah. So I could get shaved meat, which is really thinly shaved frozen pork, beef, and that you put into shabu shabu, which is that broth like Japanese
shabu.
Common soup like thing. So okay. What happens is you have this big thing of broth and vegetables and tofu and stuff like that, and then you take the meat and it's really thin, and you put it into the broth and it cooks almost instantly.
Huh.
And then you take it out again and you put it into your bowl that has a raw egg in it and this kind of spicy sauce. And it's a communal kind of fondue.
Huh. So yeah. do you just quickly cook it, or does it is it bacon where it's cooks
really,
and crisp?
No, it's in liquid. So it's like soup. It's like a communal soup.
That's weird.
So you're putting all the stuff you want in your soup into the communal pot of soup. And when it's cooked, you take it out again and you cool it off with the raw egg and so forth. And after everyone's done with that, then you have this, you just eat the soup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Interesting.
We used to do it when we lived in Taiwan, and recently discovered that H Mart had the shaved meat, which you can't really find any place except there.
Is it just for soup? Could you make little meat chips with it?
I guess you could,
but cooked them on a tin in the oven or something.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure why you wouldn't want to do that. it's actually made for the shabu shabu.
Oh, okay.
So it's these really thin, almost like shingles of meat that are curled up. Yeah, you'll have to see it.
Yeah.
When we make it, I'll give you guys a call.
Yeah.
And you can have a look at it. You can frown and go, that
don't
look
scares
American.
Me.
what's that egg you're dipping it in?
I will
Aren't
not
you going to get salmonella?
Things, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's part of the world of international cuisine that I am dragging you towards. So I have somebody to eat with other than Kenta Koga.
Kenta Koga.
Yeah.
Kenta Koga.
So what else is going on?
Where'd my show notes go? Well, we met with our buddy Gary the other day.
Yeah.
Gary Constantine. It doesn't flow off the lips as easy as Kenta Koga.
But you've had more practice. Kenta-Koga. I bet Kenta-Koga. You could get it. Kenta-Koga. Gary Constantine.
Kenta Koga. Look, it comes out.
You can't even stop. The last podcast, you just kept saying Kenta Koga over the Kenta-Koga. Stuff I was trying to say.
Kenta Koga.
All right. It's just not
We gonna... still got to get him on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find out who he is and what he does.
I talked to Rob Pentinen.
Speaking of names that roll freely off the tongue.
I can picture it in my head.
Pentinen.
We should get him.
Just Pentinen.
The
Adventures of Pentinen.
I can remember Pentinen.
Pent. All right, so Pent.
Pent.
And then Tinen. Pentinen.
Pentinen.
Pentinen. No, because there's two T's, so it's Pent. And then tinnin.
Pentinen.
You gotta do that.
Pentinen.
So it's pentinen. Pentinen.
Pentinen.
Pentinen.
Pentinen.
Pentinen. Pentinen.
Pentinen. 10-10-10?
I apologize in advance to everybody. It's like, what the hell are they doing?
Well, Rob
Pentaton. Our friend Rob. We'll just call him Rob McDonald because he's married to Elise McDonald. And so, it's a lot easier.
I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, I was asking him if he wanted to be on the podcast. And he said, like, oh, so, like, for also all 20 your audience can like hear what they have to say. What do you want me to say? And I said, I don't know. And I said, well, what do you think of something?
We could ask him what it's like being a post office worker, working in the postal delivery thing. And we can also get a perspective from him, because like everyone's like, oh, nobody needs a post office is blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
We could get his input, like somebody that's worked for the post office for so long, like tell us how you feel about this.
Hmm.
You know,
well, he's running by him.
Yeah, because he's doing it like day to day, and you've got all these people that post all kinds of crap about the post office who don't actually work there, and it's like, well,
yeah,
give us some firsthand, like what is the U.S. post office experience like?
The American Experience, post office by PBS.
And then people can compare that experience with their own experience.
Exactly.
Going to the post office.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Maybe. You know. We can run it by him.
We can ask him.
Yep.
Or we could just talk about guns. He likes stories. To talk about guns.
He has all the funny stories about
the
working.
Tales from the Berg. I know.
Tales from the Berg, yeah.
All the crazy people he deals with.
He's also Finnish. For all this time, I thought he was Norwegian, or I may have just transposed Norway with Finland.
Oh, really?
In my head at some point.
Huh.
So apparently Fitchburg is like the had the largest population of Finns in the United States.
Oh, really?
Because they were all immigrating
Finnish
from Finland to the United States through there.
Huh.
So it's apparently like one of those places nearby that was like hugely shaped by immigration.
Finland.
Which is pretty cool.
Finnish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so we met with Gary, and Gary, he does, he's self-employed, right?
I would say so.
He does his own thing, and one of the things that he does is he makes custom retro scooter parts, right?
Yep, that's his current
thing. Which is awesome, and he used to do a lot of, custom shift knobs and stuff for like hot rods or cars or
he used
like
to do
older cars.
I'm not sure if I think he still does that.
Because he started with like the Tiki stuff.
Yeah, he has several lines of things that he makes. So he'll design and carve and cast that makes very high quality reproduction parts for vintage cars and also more fun things like tiki style accessories.
Yeah. And he did a lot of stuff for VWs too. Brezel Works, which was like custom old VW logos and stuff like that.
Yep. Yep.
He does a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just jotting down Vintage Scoot and Brezel Works.
Yep.
To link to.
So he's been putting a lot of time into the vintage scooter stuff. He has got like a few like amazing restorations going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not sure what to talk about. I'm not sure how much of the stuff that he was talking about is like kind of like under the hat.
Oh, NDA?
Yeah. Right. It'll be better to get him on.
Yeah, we'll have to get him on here so you can
have him represent himself.
Yeah. But I think Vintage Scoot is pretty like...
Yeah,
they have a website and stuff like that. Yeah, so we can link to that.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful work.
Yeah, if you've got old scooters that you're like renovating and stuff, he just does these beautiful... I don't even know. I can't think of what they are.
Like the chrome
side
bits.
Designs, chrome bits, and yeah, he does all kinds of really crazy, awesome looking stuff. That's really neat.
From what I gather, it's difficult to find some of those parts. You know, like you're trying to find like a 1956 like side plate for some scooter that they don't make anymore, and they didn't make here, but they made in Italy. so if you can't find the original part, you can maybe find a reproduction part. And I guess there's places and various people who make these things. Some of them make them cheaper than others, but Gary is at the very, very high end of this.
Yes.
It's really pretty cool to know someone who can do this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So we met him at Bonhoeffer's.
Yep.
And we've been trying to have meetings with him every once in a while, right? Just to catch up.
Yep. Yep.
You guys interact pretty well together. Like you can bounce ideas off each other and.
Yeah, we do a lot of listening.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, I don't know, there's a lot of, I would say that he and I are interested in the creative entrepreneurial process. He comes from it from a different perspective than I do.
Yeah.
For one thing, he's more accomplished. He's gotten a lot more done.
Right.
On a professional level, as far as industrial design and manufacturing and engineering, sales, you know, type things. Plus, he's a freaking Eagle Scout. And I'm on the other end of things. I'm more on the digital side. I never was a scout of any kind because I don't like joining organizations.
Non-scout.
But I guess we're both trying to solve the same problem, which is how does one become creatively self-sufficient? What are you willing to put up with? What are you not willing to put up with? How do you find more people who are doing that? How do you, make it all work together? And,
right.
We have different solutions to things. My thing is figuring out how to do this turnkey e-commerce thing, selling designs, on paper. And the nice thing about that, as he was mentioning at our conversation, was I don't have to actually sit and carve each one out or cast it or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I can just call someone now and just say I need 1,000 more of these printed and packed and sent to this warehouse.
Yeah,
and then I'm done.
Yeah,
I've already done the hard work.
Yeah,
whereas he has to stay up and pack this stuff. So there's a limit to the scaling that's there. On the other hand, the kind of thing that he does is on the high end of things, and he doesn't have to sell a whole lot of them.
Right.
I suppose. I haven't seen his numbers, but
yeah.
And also what he makes is much cooler than what I make. Real metal things that go on the side of stylish Italian scooters. It's just, when I think about the chance of meeting intriguing women is probably much higher than if you're making reproduction scooter parts. Not that he can take advantage of that. Than if you're making pads of paper that tell you how to track your time. I mean, what do you get with that? Who's gonna be
hot nerdy chicks?
Librarians?
Huh?
I should make a line of
you
librarian.
Should. Yeah, there you go. You should make something that libraries have to have.
Librarians have actually asked me if it's okay to use some of the stuff that I've made.
Yeah? It's too bad they can't see you wink over the computer.
Hey. I would have just build it into the brand identity.
Oh, you can.
But that's something for another.
That would be great. It would be like a Dave Say logo, and it would be kind of like the, the Manny Moe and Jack illustrations, and then just be one of Dave, and he's like...
Maybe you can help me out with something.
Okay.
This might be along the lines of what the purpose of the podcast was for. We were just trying out names again.
Yeah.
Based around the idea of this collective that we have.
Yep.
The one issue I have with is calling the podcast the Collective Podcast is the word collective has this weird kind of not quite pretentious, but
clubby. Does it seem a little clubby?
Yeah, it's the name for it. I would want it to have a ring of everyone's invited, included.
Right.
But there's, at the same time, there's a value that's expressed.
Okay.
So it's not everybody gets to join for free club, but it's you join because you believe that doing this is cool and want to pitch a hand club.
Yeah. So, right.
One of the benefits, I think, from having this collective,
yep,
is that we can just bounce ideas off of each other.
Yep,
and be more invested in it than just more than casual, less than being employed or being under contract.
Yep.
So I want to make a logo mark for myself, kind of like a maker's mark. The sort of thing that is you made your stamp last time, right?
Right, right, right.
And I was telling Gary at our conversation that I wanted to do this additional branding push, but I don't want it to be a commercial feeling brand. I want it to feel more like an artisan's stamp mark. The sort of thing that you would see on the bottom of a shoe, I suppose, or you tucked in the corner of something, a mysterious mark that is recognizable, that speaks to things that I think are cool.
Yes.
And I don't know what that is. It may the coolness accrues just through its use.
Yeah.
But to make something like that I can just put next to my name and then people go, oh, that's Dave Say and there's that mark, and then the mark itself will stand alone.
So we know it has to be something that would be real simple, because it would have to be able to, if you wanted to make it into a stamp, it would have to be like a simple enough pattern or design. That,
yep. But the shape itself doesn't have to be symmetrical.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super simplified. But it would probably need to hold up at least at, like, I would say, like, maybe at a half an inch.
Okay.
Yeah. Half an inch, like, if it were stamping it into physical materials.
Yeah.
You could print it smaller. So, and that could be a simple shape. It could be something that's more, you know, iconic. I want it to not have a geometric feel to it.
Okay.
The sort of thing that, like, any schmo with a you know, illustration program could,
right,
just like, oh, look, here's a square with a circle in it, or like, here's a...
When I was looking for places that make these stamps, like these leather stamps, like the one that I just had made.
Yeah.
The vintage, time-honored, traditional stamp that leather makers used to put on their leather was an oval.
Yeah.
And usually it said something like, there was on the top curve, it would be like, you know, genuine leather. Mm-hmm. And then on the very bottom curve, it would say, you know, like made in the USA. And then just like right in the middle, just simple text that went right across. It would just say like the name of the company or something like,
yeah,
you know, Durabold or something like that.
Yeah.
And in all the ones I've been looking at, that seems to be the, like, that's the one that, you know, like when people branded their cows or they would make their leather belts and stuff like that, that seems to be the general one. Like, that's the one that everybody, the de facto sort of look.
Right. I keep thinking about like horseshoes and things, though.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
That's a simple shape. Maybe I pick a shape that's somehow related to my early 8-bit upbringing or something. Yeah,
you
like
even
that,
like
or,
a, you know, like just a little graphic of like, I'd have to illustrate that, but like a piece of paper and then the corner, like the corner of the paper folding down. So it would break that design element up a little bit, but it would be simple enough that,
yeah,
because a lot of stuff, what you do is like paper copy, tactile paper stuff.
Yeah. But it's not only that.
That's true.
You know, it's something of the design element. Yeah, I could just repurpose those dots maybe somehow, but make them look cool. Yeah, that's an
idea. You haven't done the dot thing in a while, though.
No. It's like I wanted to think of something that was more slightly more illustrated looking.
Yeah,
or slightly more, you know, like it looked like an animal.
Okay.
Like that,
well, it could be a little groundhog.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Holding paper product.
Yeah, that, like that. I think that might be too much detail.
Yeah,
the groundhog holding a piece of paper.
Yeah,
unless it was bigger.
I still like the that form that you did. That was, you know, like David Say, proprietor of you know, and that's the second little stamp design I've been playing around with. I've been trying to like mimic that a little bit.
Yeah, I saw you posted that to your Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah. I made a few changes. Sarah gave me some input, and I made a few changes, and then I haven't touched it in a couple of days. So
yeah, let's sleep.
Yeah.
There's an American graphic designer named Aaron Draplin, who is kind of he has that same kind of work that sort of work style. He loves that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I believe he did like a lot of graphics for the Obama administration, like back in the first term. But I became aware of him because he was like being showcased as a successful designer who was doing something that was kind of the opposite of everybody else. You know, before these hipster style logos became popular.
Okay.
And the fact do you see that there was infographic about how to make a hipster logo?
No, I did not.
I have to look that up because it sort of harkens back to that. It's the whole PBR kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
You know, like working class. You know, nice. American values, you know, built Ford tough, you know, that kind of thing.
Built Ford tough. I think I'm on his website right now. I'm looking at his logo designs.
Yeah.
They're very nice. They're very simple. Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of presidential ones.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So, like, it's I guess you might call it Midwestern industrial.
Yeah, like workwear.
Yeah. Whereas
that's really nice.
The poster thing that you were talking about that I had done, I was trying to reach more toward like the 1800s.
Yes.
Back when wood type was,
yep,
when people would make flyers and they put every font on the universe that they could get.
Yes, that was what I was thinking of with that stamp too, like that old Americana workwear kind of feel.
Yep.
Yes, I like that stuff.
Yeah,
I think, and it's nice that design seems to be going in that direction a little bit. I found. I don't have a link for it. I tried to bookmark it. I can't remember what I did with it, but somebody made a letterpress calendar, and it's 12 sheets and it's different colors. It's almost like a rainbow color and everything, but each sheet is like motivational sayings, but it's done in all that different type of font letter, like just different fonts everywhere.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's really, really pretty. I was like, ooh, it's very nice.
I'm trying to move over to the... Is it this key?
Dead air. So we saw Gary, and we see him at Bonhoeffer's, which is like right around the corner from the studio.
Yep.
And you had a smoothie.
A mango smoothie. They have really good smoothies.
They have really good banana smoothies.
And Gary had a crepe. I didn't know they made crepes.
A crepe?
Crepe?
Crepe. Did he say crap?
I said crepe.
Somebody else.
Which is I
yelling.
Believe, the way you pronounce it.
Crepe? Crepe? A crepe. Oh, so it's not
Sarah's
crepe.
Sarah's here.
Yes. Is it? What is it?
Crepe. Crepe Suzette.
A crepe Suzette. Okay.
Yeah.
What is a crepe?
I don't know what a crepe is.
What is a crepe?
A crepe.
Come over here, Sarah. Talk to us.
A crepe or a crepe is just a thin pancake. That's all.
You wrap stuff in it, right?
Yeah, you put things in it, right?
And you can put things in it.
It's like a fancy burrito.
It's kind of like a burrito, yes.
Oh, but it's really thin.
Sweet, yes.
It's a sweet burrito.
Yes, it's sweet.
There are savory ones, too, though, I believe.
That's true. There are savory ones also.
and that was your... We need to name the segment now.
Yes, social commentary by Sarah Prindeville. Sarah Caesar. Prindeville Caesar.
You could do a reading.
Yes.
He could find like a small clipping of something and he could read it to everybody.
Oh, that's what she could do. You know how you like used to read those little entries after dinner at your parents?
Oh, that's great.
There's
we could have a little like, we
it.
Could
we
have a brief instructional lecture by Sarah Caesar. And we could just pre-record a bunch of them. And then it would be like,
that would be amazing.
What's that thing on NPR they do with what's his name at 7 o'clock in the evening with
Garrison Keillor?
Yeah, the Garrison Keillor thing where he comes on and he like talks about whose birthday it is. And then he reads a poem and
The Writer's Almanac.
We could have like the podcast version and it would be Sarah and she could just come in and be like,
that'd
and
be
now
great.
This week's writer's recitation by Sarah Caesar.
That sounds similar to Sarah's blog. She had a blog that you were doing words, I think, or it was
for what were we doing a long time ago?
I don't remember.
I thought you had a blog, or maybe it was a blog idea that you wanted to do a word of the day or something like that. This was like years ago.
Maybe, yeah.
We had the one with the band names.
Yeah, that might have been it.
And then you had one with that listed all the books that you were reading. Mm-hmm. And then what else was it? Was it just the two main things?
Yeah, I think that was it.
It sounds like the kind of thing that you could do. And then you could like attach each reading to like a particular piece of artwork you want to move.
Today's reading is about goats and chickens. Goats and chickens.
A special poem about a goat. Oh, goat. Now available for sale.
Uh-huh. For $175,000.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yes. We're just joined in on our podcast this week. So we met, tell us about the Elise McDonald wrapping service, because I saw you make a post on Facebook that you were like, I don't want to do my own wrapping. Does anybody else do custom wrapping for Christmas presents?
Yeah, I figured there must be services that, you know, like a church would do like a Christmas tree, Christmas present wrapping service or something like that. So I just asked on Facebook because I figured people like that go out might know.
Yeah.
And then Elise said, like, she used to work at a high-end gift store, like, when she was in 17 or something like that. Like, in the Cape or the Hamptons or some place like that.
Huh.
And so she apparently she really likes wrapping presents.
Really?
And she said that, like, if I, you know, donated money toward the charity of my choice, that she would wrap them for me. Because, like, I don't enjoy wrapping presents. And like for one thing, I had to clean off my dining room table, so I had a surface to wrap them on, and it was really dirty and piled crap. And I didn't want to deal with it. And before I could like clean that off, I had to clean the rest of the living room, so I had a place to put the crap, and then I would have to vacuum it. And it's just like I just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
And so like I brought all the presents over, and she said I had to buy the wrapping paper to choose one wrapping paper I liked. So I went to the Hallmark store and got some stuff there, and then she wrapped them. And then I got to talk to Rob and Elise while she was doing that. I got to see how, like, you know, professional does it.
Yes.
And apparently my resistance is I don't like making that first cut on the wrapping paper. It's awkward.
Really?
Because I would want it to be a perfect, straight cut.
Okay.
And, like, I don't like using scissors because it's going to wander back and forth and so forth. Even if you get the wrapping paper that has, like, grid lines printed on it now, which I got.
Yep.
And so, like, I was watching Elise do it. She just took the scissors and she went zoop, 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 zoop with a regular pair of scissors. And it wasn't that bad. Huh. I was going, like, wow. This is all in my head.
Yep.
And then she did the curling thing with these curling ribbons.
Okay, yeah. So, like, is that like she pulls on it with the scissors?
And it goes like this. And yep. So they started doing that. But then it occurred to me that was getting beyond... that was the original point was to make this as hassle-free as possible.
Right.
And so, like, all right, now I'm curling ribbons on these things. And you know what? People don't need the ribbons. They'll be fine. So she just wrapped the rest of them up, and it was great. And it would be a great idea for a charity thing next year.
It's really funny.
So maybe we'll do that next year. We'll have, like, a wrapping thing. And then, so I donated $20 to NHPR.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, that was good.
Yes.
What else is going on?
Christmas.
This is like the longest podcast we've done. I think we're both sleepy.
Is it not? Is the timer set?
Yeah, it's going.
Oh,
we have like another, what's the time? Another 4 minutes.
Oh, wow. So what's been going? Oh, so all right. I'll plug the. So I did a review of that camera strap that I got in.
Oh, yeah. What was it called?
It's a Holdfast strap. It's by a company called Holdfast Gear. And it's actually Jimmy Swaggart, the Reverend Jimmy Swaggart, the televangelist from the 80s. It's his grandson that started this line of...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he started a whole line of photo accessory type stuff. And it's all American made, and it's all like this... It's just all leather. It's just all these beautiful leather things. And so the Holdfast strap is this... To break it down, you know, simply, it's basically just sort of two belts that are like cross riveted, and you wear it like a vest, and you just put it on.
Yep.
And it's like the rapid straps where it just holds the cameras. You attach them with these things, and they hang down at your sides, and you can grab. And it's just beautiful. It's just this simple, beautiful strap, and it puts the weight on your shoulders instead of on your neck or anything. And so, and this is what has gotten me obsessed with stamps all of a sudden, because now I have this beautiful leather thing, and I was like, I want a custom made stamp so I can put it on the strap and make it, you know, brand myself on there and everything. So I finally put a review up the other day, took a couple hours and did a review and took some pictures to accompany it. And it sounded like Dave was very impressed with the review. He was very happy.
Yeah, it was very well done.
So that was the first thing. And then another thing is Westcott, who makes the foldable soft boxes that I use all the time. They caught wind of a review I did of one of their softboxes in 2010 or 11 or something like that. And so they emailed me and they asked if they could take some of that content I had from the blog and put it on their website and feature me. So they put up one feature this week, and then I just got an email saying at the end of this week she's going to put up another thing showing some of my work and stuff like that.
That was great.
So I thought that was kind of cool. And just it's like you always say, you just put the content out there and then
put the content out there.
Eventually find, you know, somebody stumbles across it and, you know, so that was something that I did like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And then somebody just snatched on it now. So they're going to feature me on the website a couple of times over the year. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a good way to wrap up 2000.
Put your best foot out there.
Yes.
And someone will trip over
it. Somebody will trip over my junk that I leave out all over the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the ability to create content that's interesting to read and good, nice to look at.
Yeah.
That puts you ahead of so many other people.
Yes.
So continuing to pursue that may lead to future opportunities.
Yes. Well, it will, because there's another company that's going to be sending me something
soon.
Yeah. And that was literally because of something that I blogged about, and they saw it, and they wanted to include me on this thing. So hopefully, it's supposed to be coming this week or the beginning of next week, so hopefully I can talk about it once that comes in the mail.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we should probably wrap it up for this week.
Yep.
Until next week, this is Photographer Sid Caesar.
And Designer Dave Say.
And Sarah Caesar.
And Sarah Caesar. Have a good Christmas, everybody. Eat lots of yummy food. Be nice to your family. And we will see you next week.
We will.
We will. And have a good Christmas.
Yep.
And I hope Santa treats you good. And leave out lots of milk and cookies for Santa.
And thanks to...
Oh, and thanks to Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble for our wonderful intro and outro music playing currently. Please visit him on the web at michaelbellar.com. The music is really loud.
So loud.
And michaelbellar.com. Goodbye.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.